What's going on, Foodie Fam? It's your main man, Dame Drops. We are taking it to the next level with Dame Comic Action. It's going to be called Superficial. It's going to be the most superficial comic book that's going to hit the streets. And I want you guys to get on the pre-launch of this joint right now. So go to damecomic.com. That's DAYMCOMIC.com. Put your email address up in there. Get ready for that pre-launch. Get ready for the campaign. This comic book is gonna blow your mind, take you to the next level. You following me on Instagram, you already seen some of the fire. I holla, damecomic.com. Let's go.
Hi guys, I want to talk to you about my friends at SouthernMuffin.com. Southern Muffin has one of the largest inventories of adult products online. Everything you and your special someone need to add a little spice to your romantic life. Massage oils, marital aids, candles, sexy lingerie, and over 100,000 videos for you to choose from. They ship international and free shipping in the U.S. for orders over $99. They will give you 20% off on your order right now. So what are you waiting for? Head on over to SouthernMuffin.com and make it do what it do, baby. All right. Good morning. And we are live. Those of you watching on YouTube, I'm not live. I've already taped this and I'm gone. consider it more live to tape. But this is the Akari Press podcast. I, of course, am your host, Antonio Bryce. Let me shout out some people. First of all, this is for my podcast, which is at anchor.fm/Akari Press. You can also catch it on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Amazon, iHeartRadio. We're also on TuneIn and Stitcher. Just go to your favorite podcasting platform and type in Akari Press. We should come right up. Of course, if you do want to see more of my YouTube content, that is at youtube.com/Akari Press. And I also have some comics. So you can go to akaripress.com and get Brand Way of the Gun, which we are still working on. And of course, Dame Drops Super Official, which I am doing with the man himself, Dame Drops. You'll just got three more pages of art in from Kanan, and they look fantastic. So I'm very excited about that. So damecomic.com. Also wanted to acknowledge the good folks. Especially, they got a Valentine's Day sale coming up. The good folks over at SouthernMuffin.com, they've been sponsoring the podcast over the last about 2 months now, and been a really good partner for us. I saw, as we're able to track and see who's responding, people are listening, and they've actually, if you want to add a little spice to your romantic life, Southern Muffin can help you guys out there. So SouthernMuffin.com, really appreciate them. And like I said, you get 20% off and free shipping in the lower 48 of the United States if you spend at least $100. So, get them scented oils and them candles and all the ropes and handcuffs, whatever you need. So SouthernMuffin.com, great website and great partners. Thank you. All right, so let's get into it. I watched on HBO Max, I watched Tiger, which is a two-part documentary about Tiger Woods. And I had so many thoughts. I had to watch the, because I was just going to watch one part and then maybe come back later. It was so engaging. I had to watch the whole thing. So I was like, oh, shit. Okay, let's. And the way they did it, especially the way they ended the first part, they just the way part one ended was real, you could definitely tell it was kind of clickbaity, but I think the way they wrote it might be streaming on regular HBO too, but it's all, both parts are on HBO Max. That's how I watch it. It's like I just HBO Max comes in with my Xfinity package, so I just tend to watch everything. They've got so much stuff on there. They got like Fresh Prince and Friends and all that stuff. So, but both parts are on it, so I was able to go right into it. I didn't have to watch it on HBO and then like come back. But I think when they put it on HBO, it was like they aired 1 week and then you had to come back the next week and watch the following episode. So if you watched it like that, when you saw the last few moments of part one, you were probably like, oh my God. The reason I say that is because they got an exclusive interview with Rachel Yucatel, who had been quote unquote Tiger's mistress. She says she hates that. She does not like to be referred to as Tiger's mistress, especially because we know there were so many. What he had at least, what, about 15 different women at one point that all came forward and they all thought that was what was so funny about it. As we go along, they all thought they were the only ones that Tiger was messing with. So it was kind of interesting. Part one is mostly early Tiger, with Earl, his father, Earl Woods. And one thing outside of Nick Faldo, which I was surprised to see any professional golfers actually willingly sat down, because this is when I saw the advertisement for it, I thought this was something like kind of like Jordan the Last Dance or even the Undertaker's documentary The Last Ride, where he actually sat down with them and went over his life, talked about mistakes he made, stuff like that. I thought that's what was going on, and that was not the case. This is completely unauthorized. Tiger did not participate in this. All the interview segments are segments that he had done with other media outlets. And then, you know, they take like ESPN clips and Golf Channel clips and stuff like that, and they put it in there. But, I mean, they use it to help shape a narrative. The people that all, let's see, there was a person that was a dear friend of Tiger's. There were two men that they kept, you know, when they put their name up on the screen and they go, Woods family friend. Those were Earl's partners. Once you listen to them talk, those were Earl. That was his father's friends. I'm like, you're not going to be 35, 40 years old, and your buddy's a 7-year-old. I mean, that's just not, what kind of bullshit is that? That's why I was like, the one, it was like these, and since, like I said, these guys, both of these guys are people that Tiger don't fuck with no more. And that's one of the things, just the girl that was a childhood friend or went to high school with him or whatever, and had, you know, been part of his life in the early parts of his fame. She's talking because Tiger don't fuck with her no more. That's what it is. So, like, even in the second part, everybody that talked in the documentary outside of, like I said, the Nick Faldo thing, that was, he never seemed like he outside. He always seemed like they have a business relationship. When they cut him into the documentary, all his stuff was just talking about Tiger as a competitor. You know, touched on the scandal a little bit, as far as, not to mention Tiger being injured with the knee injury and the multiple back surgeries. He had like 3 back surgeries or whatever. And, you know, he talks about that part. It's like, how is he able to come back from, you know, the injuries and all the pressure from the scandal and blah, blah, blah. He didn't talk about Tiger like they were boys and shit. And he was just hanging, you know, yo, that's what it is, and Tiger's my man, and blah, blah, blah. And they also had the golfer, the caddy, Charlie something, I can't remember his name. But he had been Tiger's caddy for, they said, 13 of his first 14 major championships that he won. This guy had been Tiger's caddy. And then him and Tiger fell out. And then, of course, it seems like Tiger has a pretty consistent pattern with everybody that talked in the documentary. It seemed like at one point you were cool with Tiger, and if he fucks with you, then like if you're going on vacation, if he going on vacation, hey, you want to come with us? Yeah, sure. That's great. You know, it's like, hey, you know, they getting to kick it with Tiger. They getting to, you know, go to like he's throwing parties. You getting to come to his house and you getting great presents and all this kind of shit. And then some bullshit happens. And Tiger, literally, when the bullshit happens, he cuts you off. There is no working it out at that point. It's like he just cuts you off because the first one of Earl's friends that what Earl had been in the military, I think he had been a Green Beret, and he, you know, so obviously he's in the military, and Earl liked to golf, and because he was in the military, he had access to the naval golf course. So I didn't even know the Navy had a golf course. I wonder if the Army has a golf course, but the Navy apparently has a golf course because that's where he met this first gentleman. And I guess Tiger was about 7 or 8 years old at that time. And this guy told his story. He was just like, he said, I was kind of new and I was golfing on the course. And I guess all the fellas were in their little cliques and nobody would talk to me. And all of a sudden, Earl is very friendly and he just comes, you know, everybody else was ignoring me. Earl comes up and talks to me, shakes my hand and, you know, introduces me to his son, little son. Like I said, he was taking Tiger golfing with him. That was Tiger. So he introduced to Tiger when he was like 7, 8 years old. So he was a little kid golfing with his dad. And ever since then, him and Earl was tight. And so he kicked it, you know, they golfed a lot and obviously Tiger would be there golfing with his father. So because he was in the military, he had access to this naval golf reserve golf course. And so that's where this guy met. So he was in Tiger's life at least about 20 years because what Tiger's like 43 now or something. But he was in Tiger's life up until at least the scandals, it sounds like, because he was still in Tiger's life after Earl passed and all this kind of thing. But they all said the same thing, like Tiger just stopped talking to me. You know, so of course you sit down and do a tell-all documentary about it. And that's why. So it sounds like Tiger made the right decision. They also interviewed, now I was surprised they got this one, but once she told her story, I understood. A young lady by the name of Dina Gravel, they interviewed her. Now, who is Dina Gravel? Dina Gravel was Tiger Woods' very first girlfriend. They went to the prom together. I think they met in like high school. This was his first love, which inadvertently they kind of, I mean, that was his first love. So this is most likely the young lady that Tiger lost his virginity to. You know, they kind of talked about, they touched on certain things. And it's like, you know, there's a picture of them laying in bed together like she's kissing Tiger and all this. So this is Tiger's first. And she even said Tiger told her that he wanted to marry her. So obviously I understand. Especially as her story goes forward, I think they didn't drop the big reveal on how Tiger broke up with her into the second, it might have been in the first part, but I think they dropped it in the second part because, and this blew me away, but like I said, this is his first woman. And she's talking about, it sounded like Tiger's mother started wanting Tiger not to see her, and Tiger's father definitely, once things started happening, obviously Tiger was a great high school player, and then he got into college at Stanford, and then he won a couple of like junior golf championships or whatever, junior U.S. championship or whatever, you know, he won it like 2 years in a row or whatever. It sounded like Earl started seeing the money come. And Dina sounded like when she would talk to Tiger privately, he kind of wanted to play golf, but he didn't. you know, he felt like he wasn't doing it for himself. He was doing it because Earl wanted it. It sounded like Earl was putting a lot of pressure on him. And it sounded like she's going to him and going, baby, you're your own man. You don't have to. And obviously, when you start as a woman, you start telling your boyfriend that he don't have to listen to his mom and dad, and he's a grown man and he can be independent. You think that's going to piss his parents off a little bit? It might. And they started trying to get Tiger to break up with her. And like I said, she told the interviewers that Tiger told her that he wanted to get married and have kids with her. They were in love. You know what I'm saying? Tiger loved this woman. And she loved Tiger. She even was crying. She was telling some of the stuff in the documentary. She was getting like teared up and stuff. And she couldn't believe it. And sound like Tiger broke up with her at least, 20 years ago. And she still is carrying some bitterness about how that went down. And I say that because he didn't even have the courage to tell her, because this is before, cell phones existed, but it wasn't the text messaging and stuff. He wrote her a letter, it was like 2 pages or something. He wrote her a letter. She still has it to this day. She kept the Tiger Woods breakup letter and held it up and read it on camera. And I remember that because that struck a nerve, because I was like, me and Tiger, I was like, I could relate to that because some of you that listen to Sexy Party, I was doing what was about almost 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, I did an episode with Anna. And I happened to we were talking about my past relationships, and I happened to mention that my ex-fiance, Catherine, when she broke up with me, she wrote me like a 2.5-page letter explaining to me why I suck, and that and she was like, read it on the air. And I was like, I didn't want to read it on the air, but for whatever reason, Anna really convinced me, and I went and got the letter and I read it on the air. And it was a good entertainment. That if anyone that has listened to my all those podcasts, they are still up on Anchor. So any of the Sexy Party episodes with Anna, I can't remember the exact, it was probably the second or third one we did. And I read my ex Catherine's letter, and, Anna told me to burn the letter. She told me to burn it. And I didn't. I kept it. I still have it now. And she was like, because I remember a couple weeks after we did the episode, because there were still people going, man, dude, when you read that letter from your ex, it was crazy. And I was like, yeah. She asked me, did I burn it? And I said, no. And she says, why? Why did you keep it? And I don't know why I kept it. But I mean, well, one thing, I really, really, really love this woman. This woman, it was kind of weird. And sometimes when I lose focus, I keep it like it's hidden in my home. I don't know. It's like I'm hiding it from, it's like part of me thinks maybe I'm hiding it so that I can forget where it is, but something will happen and I need to refocus. So I'll go to the place that I've got it hidden and I'll open it up and I'll read it and read it and read it. And it helps me refocus. Because sometimes when I read it, I get pissed off. And I was like, oh, because the letter was very angry. She was very bitter towards me. And I thought, and same thing I tried to tell her, she had left some stuff here and she was afraid to ask me because she come get her stuff. And I was like, we're adults. I'm not going to keep your stuff. Come get it, please. She had gotten a package delivered here and stuff. And she's like, is that cool? Or do you just want to leave it outside the house? And I was like, just come get it. I wanted her to come back. I still love this woman, even after everything that happened, I remember talking to her while she was packing her stuff, and I was trying to tell her, I was like, I miss you and I still love you. And she was like, you just don't get it. did you not read my note? And I was like, yes, I read it. But I was hoping that after, you know, some time had passed and you'd maybe had time to reflect, you know, a little cool down period, maybe we could go back and I could sit down and talk to you. And maybe if there was a chance we could work it out, we could. She was like, no, I was very clear. I don't want anything to do with you. Okay, gotcha. It's and that's hard to hear, but that's the truth. But Dina, she kept this note. So like she's kept this note for over 20 years. And she couldn't believe it when she's reading the note because the words, it sounded very cold the way Tiger wrote the note to her. That didn't sound like a woman that you wanted to marry and have your children. You know what I'm saying? It was some cold shit. It was like, all right, my mom and dad says I got to cut you out of my life. Don't contact me anymore. See you, bitch. And it was, it was that kind of shit. It was, you know, and she was like, she tried to call and, you know, this kind of thing. And he wouldn't speak to her. He just cut her off. And he just went on with his life. You know, it's like, oh, okay, I'm free now. And then he just went on and started winning champion. You know, he turned pro and started doing his thing. You know, obviously they talked about the relationship he had with Nike, you know, when he became a Nike athlete. I thought this was something I thought was very interesting. One of the Nike rep, I don't even know if she still works for the company now, because I'm trying to think. I think Tiger is still a Nike athlete. They may have the reason I say that is because all the other companies, when Tiger's sex scandal happened, pretty much everybody that he was doing business with, like Gatorade and all these companies, they all dropped him. And I think Nike was like the only one that stuck by him. They were like the only, everybody else dropped it. And so he appreciated that. He was like, oh shit, everybody else cut me off and they stuck by me. And so I think he's still a Nike athlete, but all the other endorsements and stuff, when all the so-called scandals and stuff happened, they had cut him off. That's something I'd heard some interviews about where he remembered that. He was just like, you know, the people that kind of cut me off when the going got rough, they cut me off and they didn't support me. But the Nike rep talked about when they first brought Tiger in, they talked to, because, you know, Earl was trying to be the manager and whatnot. The Nike rep says she talked to Earl. They have people there. They have press people there that will work with you and try to help you give better interviews so that you can, like, when the press asks you, like, say, a hot button type question, this is how you deflect that and pivot in a way where it's not awkward. You kind of answer the question without answering it, or, you know, you say the things like, well, I understand why you're asking the question, but my attorney has advised me not to talk about that at this time. You know, maybe once everything is kind of settled down, we can get into that more. And then you kind of move on to the next thing, you know. But she said Earl was kind of controlling and difficult, and that she, you know, she mentioned, she was like, hey, let's talk to Tiger and, you know, kind of work with him on media training. And Earl told her, I've been teaching him how to work, you know, to deal with the media since he was a little boy. You know, so, you know, so I've been preparing him for this his whole life. And she even telling the story in the documentary, matter of fact, I want to watch it again. It was so good. Even watching it again, you know, her retelling the story, she kind of chuckled when she said that, because Tiger, there were a couple of things that happened. This was very early in Tiger's career, and it's when Tiger told the quote unquote, what was it, a sexist joke or whatever. It was, he said, he told like a racist, sexist joke or something, and the reporter from, I think it was from Sports Illustrated, dropped that, you know. He was like, hey, this is off the record. And the reporter was like, no, it's not off the record. And obviously they put that out there in the interview and it blew up, and Tiger, you know, had to, you know, kind of apologize for some of the stuff. there were certain things they didn't touch on, which I was a little surprised on, that were kind of big moments in Tiger's life. Because what I just said about the racist joke, they didn't mention that. And I remember that. I've been a Tiger fan for a long time, since before he turned. I used to see him on, they were showing him on ESPN when he was still in college, you know, competing as an amateur. And I was like, this dude's going to be, this is when, you know, because this is one of the things they started talking about. There was so many black people. It's kind of like Venus and Serena. When Venus and Serena Williams started blowing up, they noticed the amount of blacks that started buying tennis clubs and tennis rackets or whatever, tennis gear, apparel, shot up like 40 and 50%. The amount of blacks that were going to tennis courts and actually playing on the courts and stuff, public courts, shot up 35, 40% because they were inspired. They were like, oh shit. Okay. Boom. This is what it is. You know, it's the same with Tiger. You know, they said that the amount of blacks that started watching golf, it shot up like 40, 45%. He had this, you know, he had this remarkable impact on the viewership of the game. Cause I'm gonna be honest with you, I only watched a little golf before. I watched some, like, there was some Masters with Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus. And I'd say, you know, oh, the Golden Bear, blah, blah, blah. I'd watch, you know, I'd watch for a couple of holes. And then I'd be like, oh, is Michael Jordan playing now? And I'd switch the channel. Tiger Woods, I was watching Tiger Woods. I would have Tiger on in the background, like he's at the U.S. Open, he's at the Masters and stuff. I was watching that shit. That's what it was. So I love watching Tiger when he would you know, get a big shot and, like, you know, sink an eagle or something. He'd go, yeah, and he would just, that fist would pump, and he was just so animated on the golf course, and I loved that. I loved it. You know, he just go crazy, and I get hyped up. I was like, "Shit, I can't play golf." My boy Kirby, he's a golfer. He goes, and now as his little son Carter, I remember his son was like 4 and 5 years old, and as he got older, Kirby started taking. So now him and his son, they play golf. You know, so unfortunately. I know Kirby has like back pains, so he has to go to the chiropractor, but he still be out there as much as he can. He still hits the links with his son on a regular, and they play at a nice golf. When I'm telling you, they play at one of these nice golf courses. It's one of these nice golf courses where when my black ass shows up, they go, "Excuse me, sir, are you lost?" You know, it's that kind of thing. They're like, "You don't belong here. Or are you coming to serve drinks to our guests?" It's one of those, because I had talked to him, and he was like, "Hey, you want to go golfing? I'll take you golfing." And I'm like, "Nah, I'm good, man." Then I've been by there. I'm not a golfer. Although I play like video game golf. That's what it's like. I play mobile golf, you know, different on my Android. I've played those kind of games and stuff like that. And I played the Tiger Woods golf video game and all that kind of thing. So, but yeah, as far as being a real golfer and even actually watching the sport, it's not something I really would do outside of watching Tiger. And I kind of got, I was like, oh, if Tiger's playing, especially on Sunday, if he was in contention for the winner's circle, I'd be like, he's only like a couple strikes back or whatever. I'm probably saying it wrong. I know about pars and, you know, a couple strokes or whatever. I'm like average golf fan with like passing knowledge of, you know, birdies and eagles and stuff like that. And most of that I only know about that stuff is because I played the video games, and you have to know, okay, the rules of the, okay, so, okay, oh, I'm about to hit an eagle. Boom, birdie. Oh, you know, this kind of thing. So I know, like I said, I have a very limited knowledge of golf, but over the last few years, Tiger's been really, really injured. So I hadn't really been watching. And they, in the second part, they actually talked about when he made the comeback in 2019 and actually won the Masters for the first time in what, I think they said 11 years. He hadn't won a major in 11 years. And he won the Masters in 2019. When I heard, I remember when the 2019 Masters was going, I actually turned it. Somebody was texting me, and a buddy of mine, he said, "Hey, are you watching? I think Tiger's is about to win the Masters again." And I said, "Shit, my Tiger hadn't been good in a while." I mean, you know, and it's unfortunate. He had been injured and all this different stuff had happened. Like I said, the knee, and you know, he had the knee problems and multiple back surgeries, and he just looked like whatever he was going to be, he wasn't going to be that anymore. And my boy was like, "No, turn it on. I think he's about to win." And I watched like the last hour of the Masters in 2019. I actually stopped what I was doing and I turned over to CBS and watched the Masters. And I watched Tiger Woods win the Masters in 2019. And then, you know, he hugged his son, and it was just such a, he was, you could tell, and the crowd seemed like they were shocked and happy for him. It was just like, because that's something else they talked about. Early in his golfing career, he would go on these golfing courses and they would be calling him nigger and do all this kind of weird stuff. You know, he was, you know, all the racial stuff that was going on, that he was just, and he'd have to just pretend like he didn't hear it and keep it moving, you know, because you don't want to be, you don't want to be one of those. You don't want to cause trouble, you know, that kind of deal. So it was, it genuinely seemed like people were happy for Tiger because, like I say, he hadn't won in a, when he was winning all the time, it's like the Yankees. When the Yankees are winning all the time, everybody hates the Yankees. Now the Yankees ain't won in a little while. Now you start going, "Oh, man, remember when the Yankees were winning all the time? I miss that." You know what I'm saying? So is that, so now everybody wants the Yankees to be good again. You know, it's like, hell, what, they won 5 World Series or something? It was 4 or 5 World Series. I think it was 4. That's how it seemed like it kind of played out with Tiger. So, you know, he had gotten injured. He went through, you know, they covered the Tiger Slam where he won the 4 championships consecutively, all that kind of thing, which still, I don't know if anybody will ever do that again. When, especially the way the game is now, I don't know if anybody will ever, because, well, it had never been done before. And then Tiger did it. So, and it hasn't been done since. So he's the only human on the planet that has won all 4, you know, majors consecutively. And even then they go, "Oh, well, it doesn't count because he did 3 in 1 year. And then at the top of the year with the Masters, he completed the circle." So it's like, "Oh, well, he didn't do it in the same year. He did 3 in 1 year and then the next." But they were all consecutive. He played boom, 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 and he topped it off and he won all 4. And so whatever, you can say, "Oh, he didn't do it. It took him over 2 seasons or whatever." You can say that, but to date, it has never been done. It had never been done before or since. And I don't know if it will, like I said, that the fact that he won all 4 consecutively like that, I don't know if that'll ever be accomplished again. There might, who knows, 50 years from now, there'll be another Tiger Woods. And there'll be someone that has that kind of passion for the game or whatever. And it just, and then maybe it'll happen if we still have golf courses or if people, you know, who knows? We don't know what the future holds, but like I said, it never happens. So they talked about that. And then they got, you know, so they've covered pretty much his rise You know, they showed him on, what was it, the Mike Wallace show, when him and his father were there and they were kind of golfing with Bob Hope on the show and the whole that clip's been shown so many times. Number one, it's like, my mom loved Bob Hope. So when they used to do those Bob Hope specials and stuff, I think they used to air on NBC. And my mom used to always throw those on and stuff. Just like around the holidays, he'd go and entertain the troops with the USO and do all that. So yeah, my mom, this is, you know, that always brings back those good memories from when I was a little boy and my mom, you know, these are things that were on in my home, you know, for several years. You know, it just that and the Jerry Lewis telethon, you know, these are things to check out. So but they showed that. So it looked like, as you're watching the documentary, they're obviously getting into the scandal. So the first episode, like I said, we're getting to the highs. Earl is clearly getting sick at that point. And I mentioned they had two friends that were Earl's boys. Now, one was the white golfer that he met at the Naval course. And then this other guy, I can't remember this guy's name either, but he was another one of Earl's friends and family friend or whatever. He was another one of Earl's friends. And they started kind of, you know, he was telling his perspective of what it was like watching Tiger grow up. And, you know, he had kind of mentioned some of the stuff about how Earl and Tiger's mother were starting to kind of be wary of certain people being around. They knew they had a lot to protect with Tiger. They were afraid someone was trying to, you know, wrong people trying to influence him and stuff. As Tiger started getting older, some stuff started happening. Apparently, Earl was sleeping with a lot of women, cheating on Tiger's mom a lot. That came out in the documentary. The partner from the Naval course, he said, we didn't set the best example for Tiger. So he mentioned that Earl liked a certain type, these blonde women. And it's kind of crazy. He mentioned these blondes and he said Tiger saw these women. Matter of fact, I had a good partner of mine. He told me his father was kind of like player from the Himalayas. And that's kind of how they, you know, he's still married to this day, all that, you know, wife stayed with him and whatnot. But he would take his son and go hook up with women. You know, he's like, and he even told me his daddy, you know, his dad let him know. He's like, hey, don't tell your mom. Don't say nothing to your mom. So it was kind of that kind of deal. So the Earl's friends, the one friend, the black guy, he said there was, he talked like he thought Tiger might actually still let him come to the barbecue someday, that Tiger might forgive or whatever. And the white friend, he was just like, nah, shit, Tiger done cut me off. He's putting it all out there. But he was just telling me, he was like, man, you know, Tiger's a kid and we didn't set the best example. And the black guy, the black friend was like, Earl was human and he made human mistakes. And I was like, oh, shit. And when he started saying it like that, I was like, yeah. Earl was human. And he made human mistakes. Gotcha. Gotcha. So basically, Earl liked to clock hoes. And as Tiger got more famous and Earl was traveling to these different golf courses around the world with his son, people know that's Tiger Woods' father. So, of course, Earl was using his son's fame to bang these bad bitches. And that's what, you know, so I was like, okay, gotcha. I mean, it makes sense because sometimes, even though you're not famous, you're in the vicinity of fame. And because you're in the vicinity of fame, you get some of the drippings of fame. You get fame by association. Perfect example of that is Kevin Hart's crew, the Plastic Cup Boys. They're not really famous, but they're Kevin Hart's boys. So because they're Kevin Hart's, oh, y'all the Plastic Cup Boys. Okay, boom. So that's Kevin Hart's crew. And people that are fans of Kevin Hart, they know about the Plastic Cup Boys. You know, he gives them little cameos in his movies, lets them help run his businesses and stuff like that. So they all eat and they got money so they can pull hoes because they down with Kevin. And that's what it is. Look at how LeBron put his whole team on. LeBron James took all his boys that he was cool. What, Maverick Carter, was Rich Paul? I can't remember the other guy. These were his boys in high school. He blew up. He put them all in position. That's what you're supposed to do. So here's Earl, and his son is arguably, outside of Michael Jordan and a couple of other, he especially at one point, Tiger was probably on par fame-wise with Michael. He was probably about to, where you see LeBron and like Kobe kind of got there. But Kobe kind of got there, but I think LeBron, the thing is about Michael Jordan, when Michael Jordan was the man, there wasn't anybody else in the NBA that was close or on par. And so then as Michael Jordan was getting towards the end of his career, Kobe started coming up. Obviously, you had Shaq. Shaq was seen more of like a kind of a goofball everyday man. You know, he liked to, hey, I'm gonna show up at your basketball party and I'm gonna DJ and blah, blah, blah. And he's like that. There has to be an aura and mystique around the icon. You can't just walk up on Kobe like Shaq looked like. If I see Shaq at the mall, I can go kick it with him and hang and take pictures with him and stuff. And that's not bad. Me saying that about, because I love Shaq. That's not shade at Shaq, but Michael Jordan has a mystique. It's almost like, it's like looking at the sun. Like you look at the sun directly, your eye, you're gonna get blinded. So it's like Michael Jordan has that kind of aura about him. The great athletes had that, like Muhammad Ali and stuff like that. You know, it's like Michael Jordan, he's still, I would be nervous as fuck. If I had to meet Michael Jordan now, shit, that's Jordan. That's crazy. He hadn't played in 20 years. And I'm like, but he's still Michael Jordan. He's still that. And I think LeBron definitely has that kind of aura about him. Like, I can't, you know, let him approach me. I want to meet him, but I don't want to just, you know, I don't want to just run up on the bruh. You know, it's like, and just be like, hey, LeBron, notice me. You know, that kind of deal. So Tiger was starting to, because specifically, and this is something that multiple people said about him, he was very closed off. He was like, if you had like a big party, matter of fact, that's how Rachel Yucatel met him. They were at this big function. She's running the club up in New York. Tiger was sitting by himself. He's Tiger Woods. You'd think there'd be 30 people all hanging on. Hey, Tiger, hey, blah, blah, and just trying to get his attention and hang with him and stuff. Tiger was there. Hey, guys. He's sitting there. And I can relate to that because I'm very private. And so he's one of the most famous people in the world. And he's sitting there by himself and just sitting there drinking his drink. And there's tons of people in there having fun and kicking it. And Tiger Woods is sitting there all by himself. Something popped in her head. She said, let me go check on him and see if he's all right and make sure he's okay. And she talked about this. She was like, he was just sitting there kind of staring at his drink. Nobody was bothering him. Everybody else is partying, dancing, doing their thing around him. He was just sitting there. Nobody was talking to him. She walked over to him. Hey, hi Tiger. I'm Rachel. I'm one of the hostesses here. Is there anything I could do for you? What will you need? And you know, she, you know, just let me know. She tried to leave and he wanted to talk to her. And so she was just like, okay, let me, this is Tiger Woods. And she stayed there and they just talked and talked and talked. And at that point, it sounded like, just based on her perceptions of it, at that point, Tiger started falling in love with her. You know, it's just like Tiger, they just liked, she said she liked him, and she said she knew he was married. But I mean, he was married to what's her name, Elin. He was married to Elin at that time. But he's Tiger Woods. He's one of the most famous people in the world. And she has his undivided attention. And they just keep talking. And then the party's over. And she's like, oh, okay, well, it was nice meeting you. And then she's leaving. He grabs her arm. Hey, can I get your number? When can I see you again? Again, she said she knew he was married, but he's Tiger. So what did she do? She wrote the number down, napkin, slid it to him. All right, cool. And what was so funny, she said he got in his limo and was driving off, and he hadn't even got like a block or two down the road, and he automatically said, hey, what you doing? And I was like, that quick. He got in the car. They're driving away. Put her number in there. Boom. Hey, it's Tiger. What are you doing? When can I see you again? And of course, she wants to let Tiger see her. You know, she said they started texting and talking and whatnot. They started, you know, they were keeping in contact. Tiger had, you know, gone back to what, Orlando. I guess that's where he was living, in the Florida area. He was still keeping in contact. He wanted to see her. And he takes, hey, I need to see you. When can I see you? And she said she knew it was wrong, but she agreed. And then Tiger, and what was so funny, the way she just talked about this stuff like it was normal. So apparently Tiger's corporate, his company, was handling his hoes for him. It was like he had a person in his company that was like, hey, I need you to discreetly set up a plane ticket for this person and make arrangements for this person. So someone at Tiger's company, one of his media people or whatever, would discreetly order a plane ticket, set up hotel arrangements or whatever for this person to stay, and contact, you know, the person, so that they would know, okay, you're supposed to be on the plane at such and such time, blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, they'll pick you up at the hotel, and you'll have a hotel here, and we've got a suite reserved for you, and just everything should be taken, you know, call me if there's any problem. So he had a person there that was just a hoe hustler. He had a hoe wrangler. You know, there was a hoe wrangler that was, and that's the person I want to talk to. That's the person that should have been in the documentary. Who is it that helps Tiger handle all his mistresses, his hoes and stuff? Who is that? How do you get that job? Because you obviously have to be discreet. And because this person clearly is aware Tiger is married and they are helping their boss arrange to see other women. And so at that point, you're like, oh, okay, well, this is what it is. Fantastic. So that's what it is. So, but Rachel said, you know, she was up in New York. Tiger's like, oh, I miss you so much. I gotta see you. And they hadn't had sex at this point. So flew her down. You know, and she said, that's the first time we had sex. You know, she flew him down. Trying to think. I think she said they had sex in his home. It might have been in a hotel. I had to go back and watch that part because there was another one. Here's the thing. this wasn't the first time. I thought that with Rachel, that was the first time Tiger had cheated. And they had another, they didn't get an interview with her. There was some chick, and this happened before Rachel. This was, Tiger was newly married. It seemed like they had had their first, their daughter. Tiger's daughter had been born because his son Charlie is what, like 12, 13 now? So it's like his, but his daughter was the first, was the firstborn. And it seemed like after Elin had, and it seemed that it, this is going to sound crazy because I remember watching Priscilla Presley. She had done an interview and she talked about how Tiger, I mean, oh God, now I'm committed. Like she, Priscilla Presley talked about how Elvis was sexually with her before she got pregnant. And then after she got pregnant, everything, he just seemed like he wasn't as interested or whatever. And it seemed like, and this is just, this is just me, what do they call it, conjecture or whatever. This is just my thoughts on, just based on different interviews and stuff that I've heard with some of these women and stuff like it. It seemed like after Elin had the baby, I mean, Tiger was there, but he sounded like he started getting bored. And so he started looking for some variety. So there was a restaurant that him and his wife would eat at down there in Florida. And there was a chick there, and I can't remember her name. They actually mentioned her. And that was actually one of my favorite parts of the documentary when they started talking about, not the Rachel part, it was when he was talking about the waitress bitch. Because number one, when you saw her, she was just an average bitch. She wasn't nobody special. She was literally just an average bitch. She had kind of a weird perm in her head. She wasn't a bad bitch. And I'm like, you're Tiger Woods. And at this time, Tiger Woods probably was worth $150 to $200 million easy. He had won a couple of majors, the massive endorsement deal. I mean, by the time Tiger got divorced, he was worth about $1 billion because the divorce from Elin, he had to pay her $250 million in settlement. So he had amassed a fortune of about $1 billion. You know, like you say, LeBron, Michael Jordan's a billionaire. LeBron's a billionaire. I know Money Mayweather says he's a billionaire, but they, you know, some estimates say that he's worth about $500-600 million, which again, hey, let me get that $500-600 million. I'm cool with that. But LeBron, you know, LeBron is on that billionaire status with his empire. You know, Tiger had gotten to the B club. He had gotten to the billionaire club. But at this time, he's sitting on at least an easy $200 million, $150-200 million, easy. Tubman, the Nike deal, because the Nike deal was $100 million. The Nike deal that he signed paid him in excess of $100 million a year. He also had a Gatorade endorsement. He had the endorsement from Buick. So I'm like, the video game from Electronic Arts, the Tiger Woods Golf, which they dropped him when the scan, all that stuff. Because matter of fact, I bought my buddy Kirby. That was one of the things he said he wanted for his, it was his birthday. His birthday's on Groundhog's Day. He just had his birthday again, I think 47 now. And I texted him and wished him a happy birthday. And, you know, we text for a little while, but I bought him Tiger Woods Golf on the Xbox. I remember it was the very first edition of Tiger Woods Golf, which I think is a collector's edition now. But I'm just looking at those endorsement deals that he had. He was easily $150, $200 million a year when he met this chick, the restaurant chick. And this chick was, you know, she's a waiter, waitress or whatever. And for whatever reason, and this is coming from the, because they had some, they had a guy from, that was like one of the publishers, or he was one of the managing editors at the Inquirer, and they had him in there. So this is the first Tiger Woods scandal. And this is how Tiger's team put the fire out. So they said Tiger kept eating at this place with his wife. And he kept seeing this woman, and he was fascinated, blah, blah, blah. So eventually, obviously, he makes the move. And She's a waitress. And this is the thing. This is the thing about, and I heard Snoop Dogg say this. Snoop was on Howard Stern when that shit happened, about 15 so years ago, whatever. When the Tiger Woods scandal, when the one chick had the voicemails and he was trying to get her to delete the wipe her phone clean or whatever. And he kind of Tiger was real game goofy. You could tell this is a motherfucker that never got no pussy in his life. And I'm telling you this, and obviously, like I said, I mentioned the girl Dina. I'm talking about Tiger wasn't a player. Earl Woods was a player. Earl Woods was a player from the Himalayas. Earl liked bad bitches, and he liked doing what he needed to do to get bad bitches. So he was doing what he did, right? But Tiger was very shy. He was real awkward around women. He didn't have no game, right? So he would generally find one girl and focus on that girl. So the reason why I say the waitress bitch, she was a basic bitch. Here it is. Like, okay, if you sitting on $150, $200 million, the bitches you fuck shouldn't look like a chick that I should be able to get. I'm looking at this girl and I was like, right set of circumstances, I can make that happen. And that's what I was looking at. I was like, that's really a basic bitch. That's an average bitch. When you look at the bitches that Michael Jordan was fucking around with, Michael Jordan had like some of the baddest. Michael Jordan, Mike, when them scandals, the one that tried to blackmail him or whatever, they were all baddies. They were all strippers and stuff like that. Michael Jordan, oh my God, the women that Michael was piping out, they were all just, you know, nines and tens, nothing less. They were just all just the baddest chicks on the planet. And don't get me wrong, when they talked about Tiger's infamous trips to Las Vegas. And yes, now this, I don't want to get ahead of myself because there's so much to unpack with this shit. I just want to talk. I'm just saying, Tiger was messing. Some of the chicks that came forward and said, oh, I was a Tiger Woods mistress. Some of them looked like average bitches. They didn't look like supermodel chicks that you would think someone like that that's sitting on $200 million is going to be pulling. I'm like, if I can go down to the Waffle House and pick up the waitress, come on, man. That's what it looked. Because this chick, I mean, she was all right looking. She wasn't ugly, but she wasn't. I was like, she literally just looks like she don't look nothing special. She looks like she's from common stock. She's not the chicks that do like modeling and they're athletes and stuff like that. And, you know, and they live that lifestyle. They get manicured and all this kind of stuff. To her, Tiger looked like a god. She's looking at Tiger like, oh my God, this is Tiger Woods. And so Tiger makes the move on her. And they say, oh my God, she's excited. She can't believe Tiger. Tiger's, oh my God. Tiger wants to see me. And so she arranged for herself to be seen. Now, at this point, the Inquirer, the guy from the Inquirer said that they were like, nobody is this squeaky clean. Same shit with Michael Jordan. That's why people started following Michael Jordan and trying to dip into his private life, because Michael Jordan had this image that he was real squeaky clean. And that there weren't any scandals and all this kind of stuff. And so at that point, they said, well, let's put a couple people on him and see if we can get anything. For a little while, they weren't getting anything. It was like, he's with his wife again. Oh, okay, yeah. And then finally, I guess Elon went out of town and some stuff popped off. Now, one of the things they said, the Inquirer guy said, because I mentioned the Vegas stuff, that was one of the things that made them go, they didn't have any photos or whatever. The chick, now, I will say this, and then I'll get back onto the waitress, because there's so much I want to talk about with her. There was a woman that they interviewed in the documentary. She was a blonde woman. She was a hostess at the Las Vegas Hotel. She never slept with Tiger. She was a facilitator. She helped Tiger. She was she made sure that Tiger was taken care of. She said she helped him get, you know, women and stuff like that, you know, set him up with his suite, you know, very private, where you'd have to have security to get up to a certain floor and stuff like that. She would discreetly arrange for women to, this is when Tiger was hanging out with Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan in Las Vegas. And there was a guy, I saw him on ESPN a while back when he was writing a book on Tiger. And that was one of the things he said, that a friend of Tiger's warned him, hey man, Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan, they in the fast lane. You need to slow down a little bit, because Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley, they would go to Vegas and they would just be, it would be, I'm talking bad bitches, you know, just, you know, they're drinking, bad bitches all over, they're spending, you know, Charles Barkley talking about he went to Vegas and dropped like $2 million in the weekend gambling. And that's not a cap. $2 million. Just dropping, playing, gambling, hotel. Yeah, he spent about $2 million. He said that. And, but I mean, Charles Barkley got millions of dollars. He's worth like $40, $50 million easy. So him dropping like $1.5 million on the crap tables and shit, that ain't no nothing to him. Cause hell, what, his TNT job, he make a couple million dollars just like being an analyst on television. But this guy said that he told Tiger, he started noticing Tiger was hanging with Michael and Charles Barkley, and he tried to tell him. He was like, yo, man, slow down with them two, because the way they move and the way you move is not the same. And Tiger was like, yeah, get the fuck out of here. I'm Tiger. Fuck you talking about? He liked Michael. Michael liked him. And so they, hell, Michael was at his wedding. They showed footage. There was some paparazzi footage of Tiger Woods' wedding to Elin. And of course, Michael Jordan came to his wedding. He flew out. Michael Jordan fucks with you so hard. You know how hard, like the average person, there's only a few people that Michael Jordan fucks with like that, where he'd be like, book the plane, fuel up the jet. We going to hang with Tiger. You know what I'm saying? The fact that he was cool with Tiger like that, he was like, oh, shit. I think they went out to like Barbados or something. They tried to have a private ceremony in one of the tropical islands or something, like not the Caymans or someplace like that. They, you know, nice, private. And Michael Jordan actually was like, oh, you're going to be out in like Bermuda or whatever the fuck. Let me fuel up the jet and I'll fly on out. And he came to the wedding. And so the fact that's how tight Michael was with him for a time. I don't know if it sound like when some of the stuff started happening, Michael kind of, because see, Michael does like Tiger. He distances himself from people, you know, so he kind of like, hey, Tiger, good luck with that, man. Boom. And then Michael just goes back to, and all of a sudden you was kicking it with Michael. And next thing you know, Michael's not kicking it with you no more. That's what it is. So, but this, the blonde chick that was the hostess at Vegas, if I'm Tiger, that's the bitch I would have been fucking. I mean, and this is like 15 years later, she looked like she was in her 40s now. She looked like she was really smart, really attractive. That's the bitch you should have been fucking with. But you was out here with all these damn hookers and all this. I would have, a bitch like that got brains and she's smart. She's been to college. You know, she got a lot of stuff going for her. That's the, but Tiger wasn't into it. You know, Tiger's looking at her as, please, can you get me a six bitch? But she was even telling sometimes Tiger was pulling a Magic Johnson. And what I mean by Magic Johnson was, Magic was legendary when the Lakers were at the Forum, when it was the Showtime Lakers with Kareem and Michael Cooper and all those guys that were, what was the other guy? Man, James, damn, I can't remember. I can't remember all the Showtime Lakers now. But Magic would throw these parties, and they said sometimes Magic was fucking four or five bitches at a time. He was taking all these baddies, four or five women at one time, and taking them up. They said, what was it? That he had the velvet rope or whatever. He actually had, like, he's throwing the party at his place, and he had, like, his security person, and there was the stairs that led up to his private bedroom, and they actually had a velvet rope put, you know, right there at the bottom of the stairs, so that only, you know, and this person was just paid to stand there and not let other people, you know, the guests could stay and use the bathrooms and stuff everywhere else. But you don't get past the velvet rope. They would just have it, you know, it's like a little nightclub. Only Magic and his hoes get to go upstairs. So at that point, Tiger's doing it like that. This chick talking about Tiger sometimes would have up to six women that he was, that she was helping him, you know, he tips and do all that kind of thing. So, you know, he was getting up to six girls at one time and partying with these six ladies. And, but I thought the blonde chick, that's the one I would have been hollering at. That's the one I would have, like, she would have been, but see, that's just me. I just thought she still looked very attractive, and she was very articulate and smart. It's just the way she carried herself. And I'm sitting there going, why didn't Tiger try to fuck her? That's the one I would have been trying to fuck with. But she, I don't know, maybe she had a husband or something. Maybe she was with somebody and just wasn't, you know, and just trying to keep everything professional. Or it probably would have blew up his spot to mess up. Because, I mean, hell, he didn't do nothing with her. And she's in this documentary talking, putting his business out there. But, you know, like I said, she made a lot of her. But Tiger had some of these escapades Tiger was having with all these different girls in Vegas. The Inquirer dude, now their headquarters is down there in Florida, around in New Orlando. Their publishing office, the headquarters was down there somewhere in Florida. But obviously they have paparazzi in Hollywood. They have Vegas, anywhere where celebrities would be. The Inquirer likes to keep, they like to keep photographers in the area so that they can get photos and stuff. And the guy from the Inquirer said they started getting these reports that Tiger was going off to Vegas and fucking a lot of hoes and stuff. And because of that, that's why they decided, okay, so he's doing this in Florida. I mean, he's doing that in Vegas. So you don't just stop doing that when you come home to Florida, right? So we need to try to catch him when he's home with his wife. And so at that point, he said they authorized surveillance on Tiger, and they started, you know, they start following him around. And at first they didn't get anything, you know, and then, like I said, Elon went out of town, and that's when he hooked up with the waitress the first time. He started hooking up with the waitress on a regular basis, and they had all kind of footage, photos and stuff of Tiger, at least the car. They don't have any. This was my favorite part, though. Tiger, the Inquirer dude said, okay, Elon's out of town visiting friends or whatever, maybe visiting, I know she's from, what, Sweden or whatever. I know she wasn't born in the country, but her family was here or whatever. And she's visiting someone with their daughter. And Tiger, instead of being smart and telling the chick to, well, I guess he don't want to go to her neighborhood because he's obviously going to get spotted, or tell her to get a hotel room and he just pays for it or whatever, discreetly, you know, that kind of deal. Instead of doing shit like that, he tells the bitch, hey, bitch, come to my house. So she comes to his mansion in Orlando, which is, it's in a gated community, right? So she comes to his mansion. The Inquirer dude says that Tiger wanted her so bad, he piped her out in the garage. Didn't even get up to the bedroom. Piped her out in the garage. Then took her upstairs and had sex with her in his wife's bed. I was like, oh, Lord. I started getting the clip when I heard that shit. I was like, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, so they said, oh my God. And he's like, Tiger, her, her sexual relationship with Tiger was just crazy. Tiger was all over this chick, and he could not get enough of her. And so Tiger literally, she was like vagina in a glass or whatever. She was emergency vagina. If Tiger needed some pussy, he would hit this bitch and she would come through. And there was another incident which they have photos and stuff of. They took photos of. And this was the craziest story in the documentary. So Tiger, it's late at night, say around 9, 10 o'clock or whatever. It's, you know, they're in Florida. Tiger hits the bitch. Hey, bitch, come through. Let me get that. My wife's home, though, right? So I can't fuck you in my house. Tiger Woods beats this bitch in a church parking lot. Church. And these photos appear in the documentary, right? They show her, I think they had some actual video that the guy had. This is, you could tell this is when video cameras weren't as advanced. You see people walk, you know, with these big ass cameras and shit, because the footage is kind of grainy. The video, the little photos and stuff they took was kind of grainy. And so the bitch pulls up, Tiger pulls up. This is the best part. The chick had been on her menstrual cycle, right? She was on her period. She had a tampon in. Took the tampon out. Threw it on the ground in the church parking lot. Got into Tiger's SUV. Fucked Tiger in the SUV. Got back in her whip. Rolled out. Tiger rolled out. The Inquirer photographer went up to where they had been, saw the tampon on the ground, grabbed it, and saved it as evidence. That's dedication. Saved this girl's tampon. Just so they would have evidence, just in case the chick claimed that she wasn't there, or Tiger and them tried to lie or whatever. So at this point, they had been following Tiger for a while, and they decided, all right, let's hit Tiger with it, and let's let him know that he's about to be exposed. So they contacted Tiger's PR people or whatever the Inquirer did. And they said, yes, we'd like to ask Tiger about his relationship with such and such, the waitress. Boom. They go back to Tiger. Hey, they're asking about such and such, talking about you're having a relationship with this woman. Tiger's freaking because he knows he's been piping this chick out. So he's like, oh, shit. Oh, what we got to do? They want to make a deal. Now, the guy from the Inquirer is saying, in truth, they had evidence and they could have probably ran the story. But just like I had mentioned, all the video and stuff, because they showed it in the documentary, all the photos of Tiger's vehicle and stuff, they're all grainy as fuck. They're not really print quality. They were print. He's using a telescopic lens. And it's nighttime, so they had the night vision. These are the shittiest photos. These photos are horrible. They're not really. So you could print them in the damn Inquirer, and everybody's like, oh, that's a blurry SUV. You don't know if that's Tiger or whatever, and blah, blah, blah. You don't have it. And they never kissed out in the public. Or, you know what I'm saying? It's not like she got out her car and Tiger got out his car, and then they walked up, hugged, and kissed, where you would actually have footage of them. You know, like I said, she pulled up. Tiger pulled up. She got out of her car. She took the tampon out, tossed it, got in Tiger's car. She was in there for about an hour. Got back in her car. Tiger, you know, boom. And then they went their own separate ways. Now, you know it's Tiger's car and you know it's her car because you've been following them, right? But you don't have any actual footage. You can't get close enough. I'm sure Tiger's car windows are tinted, blah, 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 all this kind of thing. So they had to kind of play poker with Tiger and go, we're about to run this story, blah, blah, blah. And Tigers people is like, look, okay, you can run this story, but wouldn't it be more beneficial to you guys to actually get maybe an interview with Tiger and actually, you know, have actually put him on, you know, the cover of one of your magazines or whatever, and actually have a business relationship with us? Is that something you guys would be interested in? Now, the owner of the Inquirer, they published the Inquirer magazine, but they also published, what was it, Men's Fitness or one of them training. I think it was Men's Fitness. But the guy goes, okay, we're going to kill this story about Tiger piping this waitress chick out if Tiger poses on the cover of the Men's Fitness magazine. Tiger goes, okay, you know, he does the photo shoot and does a little quick interview. They run it. The magazine sells like crazy because anything with Tiger's face on it at that time was like a license to print money. So the Inquirer kills the story. So you think they killed that story. They kept watching Tiger for whatever reason, even though he had given them what they wanted. They said, okay, well, we only agreed not to publish this story. So they cooled off for a little while and went on about their business and let Tiger get comfortable again. And then that's when he met Rachel up in New York. So then at that point, Tiger flies her down from New York, and they started surveilling him again, and they started noticing, okay, we think she's the new one. We think this is Tiger's new girl. Now, again, Elin is oblivious to this shit. She don't know, because at this point, Tiger's team, whenever there has been stuff like that, I'm surprised the Vegas shit didn't get out. Especially like the Inquirer said, they had started hearing that Tiger was having these crazy sex parties in Vegas, and nobody was publishing it. That's media protection right there. Because now you would see that shit on ESPN, anything. The way the press is now, there's no way in hell that those stories wouldn't have got published. But for whatever reason, Tiger Woods piping out 5-6 chicks in these lavish hotels in Vegas, even though he's married and got a baby at home and all this kind of stuff. Oh, no, we don't know anything about that. Okay. He just won the Masters again. But see, a lot of these media companies, you got to think, even the like some of the tabloid shows like Extra, Access Hollywood, they're actually owned by like CBS and NBC Universal and Disney and stuff like that. So even though they would have dirt on Tiger, they go, wait a minute, Tiger's, we got Tiger coming to the ESPY Awards in a couple of months. We don't want to mess that up. Tiger's coming to the ESPYs. Oh, my bad. I ain't there. So that's because Tiger's hot. They don't want to blow up his shit. So that's what I'm saying. Like, look at who owns some of these tabloid shows like Entertainment Tonight and stuff like that. I think that's Viacom owns them. So that's CBS. So even if they get that information, they want the business relationship to continue. So because they want that business relationship to continue, even though they get you, it's going to, you know, that's what it is. So, but like I said, I'm really shocked that since the Inquirer had knowledge of these sex parties, they didn't have any photos. Like I said, the Tiger was these private suites and stuff that Tiger was getting was very, it'd be very hard for paparazzi to get up there. It's very secure. And the hostess chick was very discreet, helping Tiger, you know, get these girls and stuff like that. So he was able to keep doing his thing for a while. And then, like I said, he started getting them appetites in Florida at home. And so he had the waitress chick, got exposed, but his PR team made a deal. So the Inquirer killed the story. So he was able to keep going. And then he met Rachel. They're following him again. Uh-oh, she's the new one. Bam. Tiger goes to the Australian Open, and Rachel says that Tiger's like, baby, I got a lot of pressure on me, and I can't win if you're not here with me. And it was interesting hearing Rachel talk about their story, because she felt like Elin was very, she loved Tiger, but she didn't care so much about his golfing and all this kind of, and it seemed like, based on what Tiger was telling her, that Elin, you know, Elin's a good wife and a good mother and stuff, but she just, it just sounded like it got real boring. And, you know, she don't like him being famous, you know, and it's the same shit you keep hearing about. I heard some of that same stuff about Michael Jordan's first wife, Juanita, where, oh God, we're at a restaurant, people want to take pictures. So it's like the fame becomes a burden to these other people that are in your life. And so the famous person needs to get away from that. I need to just be in a man-woman relationship where I'm not getting bitched out because, you know, 20 fans want to stop us from having dinner and take pictures and get autographs and all this stuff. Like, you like the money that comes with my fame, but you don't like the fame. You don't like what I have to do to get this money. The lifestyle that we're living is a direct result of this other stuff. So with Rachel, he could just be himself. And Rachel even said that she asked, because like when Tiger would fly somewhere, he would text her, hey, I just landed on my plane, such and such, such, you know, I'm going to be there. I'll be in my hotel room in about another hour and then you can come through or whatever. And when she started coming down to Florida, she noticed that even though Elin was in town, because Tiger started seeing her, even if Elin was, you know, oh, I got to go do something, I got to go take care of some business, he would go off and go see Rachel, right? Rachel said she asked him, why don't you check in with Elin the way that you check in with me? And Tiger told her, he's like, she don't ask questions like you do. She don't really seem to be that interested in some of the other dealings of my life. You know, just the money coming in. I'm there for my kids. Other than that, it's all good. So she don't really be asking that many questions. And she said that Tiger seemed to like that she was like, where are you going? What are you doing? Who are you doing it with? What time are you going to be home? When are you going to? He liked having someone to be accountable to. Whereas even though Elin knew he was famous and stuff, it sounded like Elin wasn't a big golf fan. You know, she just didn't really care. And he just seemed like, based on what she was talking about, he just sounded like he got real bored with the shit. And, you know, just, trust me, I had too many of my boys that were married that cheated on their now exes. And they all said the same, you know, oh, it's the same thing every day. It's like, I love pizza, but do you really want to eat pizza every day? You know, you start wanting variety and it's like, okay, you got to, you know, like in the beginning of the relationship, it's all exciting and everything's perfect. And then you might have a kid or two kids and all of a sudden you got to change diapers and you're going to like play parties and doing all this. You're doing shit that a parent, you know, and the relationship stops being sexy. And all of a sudden you're just a dad or whatever. And it's that kind of shit. And so it just sounds like the stuff that Tiger was saying to Rachel was kind of relaying that kind of stuff. And then Rachel brought that excitement to him, but he wanted her to fly out to Australia for the Australian Open. She did. The Inquirer had started kind of checking on Rachel since they realized that she was his next girl. They had been surveilling her as well. Someone booked a flight for Rachel to go to Australia. Ding, ding, ding. So they had a photographer there in the area, and that photographer followed Rachel, and they had like a hidden camera on. Actually said it got in the elevator with her, and then she got off and, you know, went to Tiger's room, which they have pictures of her going to Tiger's suite, you know, all this kind of stuff. it's about to drop. This time there ain't no fixing it. This time there's no, you know, they contact the Tiger's people again. Hey, we got Tiger with this person. What are you gonna do? And they tried to make a deal with the Inquirer again, but this time they had better photos. And they go, nah, we probably should have ran that story a couple years ago that we had on you. This time we're running the story. So they ran the story. Tiger immediately, but they were about to run the story. And Tiger called his wife and let her know, hey, there's these tabloids, they're trying to claim that I'm sleeping with this woman, Rachel, and it's a lie, and such, such, such. And Tiger believed that Elin bought it. You know, she was like, oh, I totally believe you. I love you, Tiger, blah, 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 blah. And the whole deal's like she bought that all this was going on. But in reality, she was suspicious. When the story dropped, it was all over. But that was one thing the Inquirer guy said, that when the story broke, they didn't get the, you know, they didn't get the media frenzy that they thought was going to happen, because the media still had a relationship with Tiger. It wasn't all on ESPN and all this kind of stuff. So they were like, damn, we just broke this story and nobody cares. I mean, a couple of people asked questions, but it wasn't like, you know, like when you see some of these other things pop off and the media just swarms and everybody's there and it's every boom. So Tiger's like, I got away with it. And that's when Rachel said that Elin took Tiger's phone and texted her. He texts Rachel. Elin took Tiger's phone and texted Rachel pretending to be Tiger. And then, like, are you home? Hey, when can I see you? Blah, blah, blah. And then she called. And Rachel picked up the phone. Because, like, Tiger had the numbers under, like, he wouldn't put her, you know, like, initials and stuff. You know how dudes, you switch it up. You know, it's like, you cheating, so you don't want to put, hey, this is, you know, you put, like, little code words so you know who it is, but the person that you don't want to check your phone will know who this person is. But Elin's going through Tiger's phone, and she sees these numbers and these text messages. Boom. She texts pretending to be Tiger. Rachel texts back, thinking that it is her man. And then, you know, hey, call me. Boom, calls. And instead of Tiger being on the phone, it's Elin. And Rachel says that Elin goes, I knew it was you. And this is right before the golf club incident with Tiger, when he crashed the SUV and the whole deal. He had been taking like Ambien and all, the whole thing when he crashed. And that's when Tiger's life blew up. So that's that whole thing. But man, like I said, the whole thing was crazy. And then they went through the whole scandal. You know, they showed some of the other women that Tiger had messed with. It was like, what's it, about 15 that came forward with different, the UK, the, you know, in different countries. They all pretty much said the same thing. Tiger made them think that they were the only one that he was cheating with, you know, the whole thing. So it seemed like they all caught feelings, because they were like, hey, you lied to me. I thought I was the only one, you know, this kind of thing. So they were all in that same kind of space where they had their feelings hurt, because Tiger was, you know, it sounded like Tiger was paying attention to old player Earl when he was like 7, 8 years old. And old Earl was showing these young ladies the 9-wood. Anyway, I have talked enough. But I think the Tiger, it's called Tiger. It's on HBO Max. It's fantastic. Highly recommend it. It was very titillating. But again, I am going to get out of here. There's another podcast that I want to do. I might do it tomorrow or something, because hell, I mean, it's my podcast. I can do podcasts whenever I want. So again, check me out on my podcast, anchor.fm/Akari Press. Of course, you can go to Anchor, to Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Amazon, and iHeartRadio. Of course, tune in and Stitcher as well. Just type in the Card Press. We should come right out. Please follow the podcast and like it or do whatever so that we get all those good notations. Of course, if you're listening on another platform and you want to check out my YouTube, it is youtube.com/AcardiPress. And check out Brand Way of the Gun at AcardiPress.com and Dame Drop Super Official at Dame. comic.com, and don't forget about our good friends at southernmuffin.com. They got the Valentine's sale going, 20%, all that good stuff. But with that being said, I'm gonna wrap it up. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, right here on YouTube, all at AcardiPress. AcardiPress.com takes you to Brand Way of the Gun, of course, Dame Comic Super Official, damecomic.com, anchor.fm/AcardiPress. Thank you guys. I am out.